You are now entering Deadland. Do you have what it takes to survive the end of the world? In the zombie apocalypse, the walking dead are the least of your worries. Welcome to Deadland, the heart-pounding audio drama that pits a small group of survivors against a world gone mad. Led by Nicole Bennett, their only hope is a distant secret government sanctuary in the Colorado mountains. But the 1,000-mile journey across the treacherous Deadlands will reveal a terrifying truth. The human cost of survival is far more dangerous than any infected horde. Every decision is a matter of life or unlife. Every stranger is a potential killer. Every breath is a privilege. Get ready for an immersive soundscape of terror and hope. Will Nicole and her group make it to the safe zone, or will they become another meal for the hungry masses? Subscribe to Deadland on Apple Podcasts, Audible, or wherever you get your audio drama fix. The dead are walking, and your journey starts now.
I think this series has gone off the rails on more than one occasion.
All this, like, I felt like all the exposition was very, very tight and well done.
Does William Shatner know that he's not a captain of a starship?
That's like Ricky Bobby. He's covering his bases.
Yeah, same as Tom Cruise, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it, Phil.
She's late. Loud and proud. Put it in the trailer.
Like, once you start it, it's like, okay, I got to see where this is going.
Yeah, I like the setup of the movie a lot.
That was the weakest part of that scene.
Sure.
That's an emotional swing for 24, 48 hours.
Okay, Fellowship of the Real, four friends in a movie. This time we're doing Maverick, a Western with Mel Gibson. This was James' pick.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We didn't. This is not the Top Gun.
Not the Tom Cruise version.
When I went to buy this movie.
I watched the right one. Just playing.
I went to buy a physical copy of this movie at Half Price Movies. And I was like, hey, do you guys have Maverick? That was his first question.
Yeah.
Are we talking Top Gun?
Yeah.
Or are we talking 90s Mel Gibson? I was like, Mel Gibson.
All
right.
I mean,
he is a Top Gun in this movie.
Right. Top Gun's very good, too.
It's based on a character that came way before.
Yeah,
it's
Brett Maverick.
Before.
Yeah.
With
Garner.
James Garner, yes. Yeah.
I loved that TV show when I was a kid.
I couldn't.
I love James Garner.
He didn't lay any of that till the end, naturally.
This movie. So
wait till the movie's over to talk about that.
When I was a kid, I watched Maverick and Wild Wild West, the TV shows, and I loved them. And then this movie came out. I was like, I love Maverick. And then Wild Wild West came out with Will Smith. I was like, oh, I hope it's as good as... No. Mm-mm. Wild Wild West, the movie sucks.
Stacey loves it. And I keep trying to tell her that it's not good, babe.
No.
We bought it. You talked about Wild Wild West.
I owned it at one point. Sold in theater.
I liked it, but it's a little out there, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in forever, so I don't remember what it was like.
Hey, Phil, we started the podcast, man. You can't just...
I was talking about... James Garner.
James Garner,
all right. James had talked about watching the Maverick series or whatever, but I grew up on The Rockford Files. I don't know if...
Oh, yeah.
You guys ever...
I've heard of it.
It's... he's every bit the snarky, cool guy, and James Garner has always been one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Cool one.
But yeah, I grew up on The Rockford Files.
All right.
Sherry's going to do her thing.
Yep.
All right, let's do Sherry's thing. Notable quotables.
Does it have a name anymore?
Sherry's notable quotables.
Right. If you just call it a thing, that's...
No, you got to say the title.
No, of course.
You don't put effort into coming up with that. It can't just be Sherry's things.
No. We are very, very happy for Sherry's notable quotables.
Those things she looked up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Put a lot of effort into it.
Sure.
I was going to say her half effort still stumps us.
Yeah, it blew me away last time.
Right. 3 a.m., bleary eyed, and we're like,
I didn't have my glasses on, so I hope I've spelled everything correctly. And I'm afraid I'm going to start repeating some of these, because some of them I'm like, oh, that's a cool line, but did I do that one already?
Whatever.
So we'll see. All right, first one. I don't know why I picked this one, and y'all know it. Fat guy in little coat.
Tommy boy.
Yeah. And I laugh every time I do that. Okay. All right, so
it's a great Chris Farley movie.
Yeah, another Gone Before His Time, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, and I know y'all know this one. I will look for you, I will find you, and I will kill you.
Yeah. Taken, yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if you'd remember the name of it. I remember who said it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know if you'd remember.
No,
the Liam Neeson Taken?
Yes.
Have you seen the trailer for The Naked Gun?
I have.
I might watch this movie.
Yeah, I think he's perfect for Leslie Nielsen, like the dry humor, and then and it looks like it has the same. I glad they didn't. I thought they would maybe update some of the, I guess, the style of comedy, but it's that old slapstick. Sure. It's the same.
I love.
Yes, and I'm glad they didn't. Like it's.
Yeah, yeah, no. We saw a preview for that.
I'm looking forward to it. It looks fun.
When we went and saw.
Just stupid impossible. Stuff. He's driving down the freeway and the guy hands him a coffee. I mean, just, yeah.
But I thought it was funny, the Liam Neeson, Leslie Nielsen thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The names. I was like,
yeah,
that's
oh,
weird.
Yeah, right.
How
yeah,
that
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Just kind wild. Of, yeah.
It's bit like, where he's like, hi, Dad, and then they're all sitting there, you know, crying with their dads, and then, the one guy looks at OJ and goes, nah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I'm
all
looking forward to that one. Naked Gun.
All right. This last one, I was going to, I'll tell you the line in just a second, but I have to add what's the first movie that comes to mind when I say this line, because I actually found a video that was 3 minutes and 46 seconds of all these movies that have this line that I didn't realize this was a quote in all these movies.
Well, it's not Luke, I'm your father.
No. But the first movie that came to mind, all right, I'll just say it. My line was going to be, it's showtime.
Oh, yeah, well.
What's the first movie that comes to mind?
Beetlejuice?
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
Yes, that's what was the first of mine. But like I said, there's a video out there. It's 3 minutes and 46 seconds of nothing but movies of people saying it's showtime.
Really?
And there are several movies I recognized. Don't ask me to name them because I don't remember.
Yeah.
But there are several movies you would recognize that...
Stupid English using the same words in different capacities. Man, why can't we be like the French? They got a word for everything.
But anyway, so at least y'all picked the one I was thinking.
Good. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But, yeah. I'm looking up. I didn't do Money Creates Fans. So I was looking up the stuff for Maverick.
Well, I'm done.
Okay.
You had all that time to look it up earlier.
Well, I'm looking for the budget. Let's see.
Got sidetracked by James Garner.
Yeah, I did.
Right. What Nickelback song do y'all want to hear?
I've seen here budget $75 million.
Okay, all right. I got
estimated
the other stuff. All right, Yeah, so that's good, Sherry. Ready for Money Critics fans?
Yeah.
Okay. James, you said a budget of $70 million?
75 is what it's showing on IMDb.
Yeah, Box Office Mojo has the domestic at $101 million, the international at $81 million for worldwide $183 million, 31,272. So it made its money.
Yeah, that's a success. Doubled its money and then some.
And then some. Now, I did not know this, and in light of some of my earlier comments and comments that I will make about this movie, I was not aware of this, and it kind of makes me scratch my head. Apparently, William Goldman wrote this script, which, hands down, is one of my favorite screenwriters
for sure.
All time.
I thought you knew who you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, no.
Cause his name was there in the credits there, Phil.
Okay, again, apparently I was, because I didn't catch Val Kilmer in the credits of True Romance, and I didn't catch William Goldman.
I had forgotten he wrote this till I saw it in the credits.
Yeah, I did not see it.
But you're right. His stuff is normally
amazing.
Yeah, very, very.
And
Maverick is amazing. But
it is.
As far as the guy's a very talented writer, pretty solid on structure. So, yeah, the fact that it's.
Now,
Hold up to, which I don't know, did he adhere to Catboy? I mean, this was written before.
Yeah, well, I asked.
I don't know. When did.
William Goldman wrote the script 90s? For Maverick in the early 1990s, with the bulk of the work likely occurring between 92 and 93. Is based on the 1950s TV series Maverick.
Yeah, I don't know when Blake Snyder's like beat sheet became, you know, like, well, widespread with Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Blake Snyder just added names to a structure that was essentially known, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. But it just seems out of character that the script is all over the place. Now, the idea was that he was trying to capture some of the wit and fun of the original series.
Yeah.
So I think that is accomplished. So what he wrote, I think, is amazing and entertaining, but I am surprised at sort of the structure, which we'll get into.
Well, I mean, when this was written, I wonder if they knew it was going to be a Richard Donner, Mel Gibson.
I don't know.
Los Angeles, Hollywood, money making type of movie, or was he just writing Maverick to?
Well, it says, according to Goldman in his book, Which Lie Did I Tell, he developed the script in the window aligning with pre-production starting in 93. So it may very well be that he was aware of some of the parties attached, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he was writing this maybe not necessarily to... He's writing this maybe as an episodic thing all slammed together in a movie.
It is. It's very much that. Because he does move from episode to episode of...
That's what it seemed like to me. That's why I liked it and I couldn't track it. I'm like... It's like he does this thing and it's a solid chunk of time. And yes. Then he goes over here and it's a solid chunk of time. But then it's an overall arc like a TV season would be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he gets to the thing at the end.
That's
you know,
true.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, it feels, until you all said which we know is based on a show, but I didn't think about it. You're right. Yeah, it feels like individual episodes slammed together. And then it's like if it's, you break it up into a,
solid
season one of a show or whatever.
Yeah, because
it ends with the game and stuff. And
each sequence could be an hour long.
But yeah, so maybe there was...
Maybe that explains it, which means...
Are there episodes he was paying homage to, maybe, with each little
could
segment?
Be. Yeah. So in that sense, maybe it does align with the genius of Goldman, as I say, because...
Can I get an ooh and an ah?
Yeah, yeah. That is very good. I was so... Relieved that Goldman is salvaged.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, how can Goldman,
yeah,
and Richard Donner and some
yeah, no, definitely, most assuredly.
I had to ask for it. You got to cut me.
No, no, no. Once I recovered, I might have.
Right.
But I was like,
also Goldman's in that realm we were talking about with Tarantino, where like, learn the rules, he can do what he
right.
94 or whatever.
At this point,
he can do what he wanted.
Yes. You know? At this point, yes. But I think that's absolutely genius what James said about each section being an homage to an episode or like an episode with an overarching season in the movie. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. Okay.
To be fair, I just thought of that right.
It doesn't matter. That's I did not think of it, and that's amazing.
So it must be great.
All right. So the critics, let's see.
Do they think it was amazing?
Well, the scores are a little low, in my opinion. The critics give it a 68%, and the fans a 71%, which I think is low. Especially in light of James' comments, had critics maybe taken a little time to think about it and come up with what James had said, maybe more of the genius of the movie shines through. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm well aware of my genius. Mm. Sir. Thank you.
And now everyone else will be. That's good.
And I'm humble, too.
And you're humble, too. Yeah, all right. So the scores, in my opinion, are a little low because regardless, this movie I love. It is a fun ride the whole way through.
When's the first time you saw it?
I think we saw it in the theater.
Did we?
I thought.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it in theater. I think I must have caught it when you could rent it. You know, the old Blockbuster or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were a big, big Mel Gibson household. So we saw this one in the theater and owned it. I watched this movie a ton.
Yeah.
You know, definitely owned it. And yeah, big Mel Gibson fan. I guess I don't remember seeing the theater. I feel like we missed it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So then you probably would have really, you would have guessed, because I'd always meant to do the line. Was that fast? I thought that was fast.
That's probably the one I quote the most.
Yeah, that's one of Stacey's favorites from the movie.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's.
And we named a dog after Annabelle and called her Belle.
No. Oh, did you?
Or I did.
Okay.
Was she always stealing stuff?
Just called her puppy.
Stuff?
What?
We found it was a stray dog.
Dog always stealing stuff?
Yeah. Living life on the streets as a stray dog, probably.
Yeah. Anyway. Good stuff. All right. Anything else on Money Critics fans? Now, I will say this. I didn't notice this, but both these movies, True Romance and Maverick, essentially, True Romance is a complete flashback because she's telling the story. But Maverick does what, and I always get the number wrong, was it 13 blocks, 16 blocks, what is it?
16.
16 blocks. Pulls what they do. The movie starts at what I eventually will call the midpoint, and then loops back to current and then continues on. 16 Blocks did that.
Also and, another Richard Donner film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, let's get more of those.
How many Richard Donner movies has this been?
But we've done two.
Only two.
We haven't done any Lethal Weapons yet.
I think on purpose, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
No, right, because
fighting Lethal Weapon. Right.
It's like the Die Hard. I mean,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
It's saving those for I don't know what.
I know,
yeah.
Right. They're the holy grails, you know.
16. I feel like there's three, but I can't think what the third one is.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look.
16 Blocks. This one, and then I thought there was another one.
Goonies.
Goonies.
Goonies. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's crazy.
Just saw crazy. It.
That's the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's
now.
Talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
This also occurred to me.
And Superman.
And this is a happy accident, but in Maverick, Brett Maverick is always trying
Bart
is always trying to visualize the card and have the card appear.
Yep.
And it never has worked out.
Is that from the TV show as well?
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says it never works out. But then, of course, spoiler alert at the end, it absolutely works out.
Yeah, Leith got excited when he realized. He's like, oh, he's going to do his trick.
Yeah, right.
Got all excited. Yeah.
And that kind of thing happens in True Romance. It's a shitty world. Things don't always work out, but sometimes they do.
The other way. Nice.
Yeah. So there is.
I always like when our movies that are, they're picked, they're completely random.
Yeah, there's no way we picked that.
But it's happened several times. Yeah. We pick these random movies and then they find.
There's like this, this synergy.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Cool. It's very cool.
Very cool. All right. We ready for the beats?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Such as they are, I guess.
Yeah, such as they are. All right. This review will either be 12 minutes or we'll talk about a lot and we'll enjoy it and that'll be fine. Opening image. Opening image is the opening image, all right? First image of the movie. But as I had said, it takes place in what I have labeled as a midpoint false defeat. And then we go back to the beginning leading up to that and then carry forward at the end of the movie. So my opening image, he's Brett Maverick is in dire straits hanging in the desert with snakes. Brett Maverick is a hero, but he's one of these hapless heroes. He's, you know, almost like a Jackie Chan type. You know, he's a hero, but it's sort of in a roundabout way and isn't going to be your square-jawed, everything goes right type of guy. This is Brett Maverick.
He admits to being gutless and spineless.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Never has worked out.
What's so great about being brave?
Yeah. He runs away today, can run away another day. Love that line.
That's a philosophy I love.
Hey, keeps you going. Any other thoughts? I mean, what did you guys have for the opening image? That's the first time we see him.
Yeah, since it's it tells that story, it starts there and then goes back. And so we catch up to that point in the story.
Yeah, so the first time we see him.
Yeah, the first time we see him.
Chronologically, yeah.
Yeah, so I moved my opening image to later, right, to make it chronological with the story. Just riding through, and I just put, he's riding on an ass.
You're right, heroes don't come in riding
fucking on donkeys. Yeah,
donkeys, and when they do, they're Clint Eastwood in Fistful of Dollars.
And it's
badass. Right. I don't think it's funny. You laughing? You apologize, like I know you're going to his mule.
Exactly. This guy's never saying
no.
That. Someone laughs, he's gonna laugh with him or something.
Yeah, you know,
he's not gonna defend his fucking.
This
mule
is the antithesis of the stranger with no name, you know.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't think that's funny. You laughing?
If you apologize, like I know you're going to.
Yeah. Get five coffins ready.
Yeah, my mistake.
Make it six or whatever the numbers were.
Talk about a movie laced with style.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
All right. What movie are we?
So Brett Maverick is not Clint Eastwood, is what we're
saying. Right. He is the comedic hero, the hapless hero, snarky. I later on, Annabelle will sum him up perfectly, I think.
Our conversation earlier, it's going to take me a minute to, like, I keep thinking the doll every time.
Right, right.
Anyhow, all right.
She calls him Jody Foster,
got it.
Yes. She calls him so irritable and likable, which I think is exactly who he is.
Yeah.
He is going to annoy you. He's going to, you know, but you can't help but like him. And I think
it was during that scene or close to it, somewhere around that, when it just dawned on me. I was like, you know, this was Mel Gibson at his peak, you know, like started in the late 80s and then went through, you know, maybe even towards the, you know, mid to late 90s. Like that kind of decade was Mel Gibson at his peak.
Yes. You know? Yes. Probably the hottest actor at the time.
Because this was 94.
Yeah.
So he'd done Lethal Weapon 3 before.
Yeah.
The year before. And this was 94 with Maverick. And then he did Braveheart. And then Ransom was after that. So just hit after hit after hit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's time for him.
And he was winning Oscars.
And Oscars, yes.
And Oscars, yeah. All right. I have a theme stated. And I'm very interested to see if you guys have one and maybe what it might be. Because, like I said, the beats are what they are, and I was hard-pressed, but I think this might be the theme. What do you guys, any ideas?
I got no theme whatsoever. Right.
Yeah, I'm looking at a blank page.
Okay.
It's like John Cena, you can't see.
The only thing I could come up with, and I think this is his pattern throughout the whole movie, I'd rather be rich than dead. Okay, come on, let's just play poker. I'd rather be rich than dead.
No, that's good.
His motivating factor is to, you know, get what he wants. Usually that's money. And nothing else is a higher priority. Not bravery, not sacrifice. Look, man, if Runaway lets me live another day for me to make some more money, then so be it.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. Like, I mean, he wanted money, but I felt like he, and I thought he said it kind of in the voiceover at the beginning, is... He wanted to know how good he really was.
Yeah, when the money's gone
out. Yeah. Like, I guess he's motivated by money, but, like, he needs the money to get into the game.
To prove to himself, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because even when it, well, never mind.
I was going to say, like, he's coming about his money honestly. Like, he's
he doesn't cheat
for it. He's not cheating people, but everybody he comes across is trying to cheat him out of his money.
Yeah. Even my friends are stiffing me, you know.
Yeah.
They owe him money.
What are friends for?
Right.
But he's trying to come about it honestly to see how good he really is.
Yeah.
Right, right. So along with that, I said he uses his wits to become so rich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he is not going to sacrifice sort of his intellect or wit that can get him out of something just for appearance sake. You know, everybody, oh, you're a coward. And everybody sort of looks at him like he's disgusting, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Harden, you know, when you're a coward. Yeah, you know. But the whole time he's doing that, he's studying their tell. So it's all about wit and intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah, she lost interest in him even at that point.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So I think the setup for his character is done very well.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Now, I don't know that I came up with a catalyst, especially if we are talking about the episodic nature and then it's sort of all being part of a unified season. The main thing he wants to do is get into this poker game. And what sets him, well, I guess he's going to the poker game, but what sets him on this series of adventures is trying to make up the $3,000 he needs.
Yeah, it's almost to me, it's like we started with the... Like he already broke into two, and we're starting like the fun and games. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
It's like all that's because his goal of getting to the big tournament, and I need, you know, because he already acquired 22 grand some way.
Right.
I mean, like gambling or whatever, I guess. So he needs the last three, It's like, that's his goal, and that's set up clearly. But yeah, like, when did something happen to him to make that his goal? Right, none of that.
Yeah, we don't see.
We don't see any of that. We don't see his.
His catalyst would have been, I need to see if I'm the best.
Yeah.
And the, what spurred him on to think that?
Right, yeah, it's not like we saw him lose or something, and you know.
Right, yeah. right. Or, absolutely.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was like lost on the first bit. I was like, wait a minute, I just
because there doesn't seem to be
nothing happened to him. I thought maybe Kaz was meeting her, but that doesn't really have. She's just kind of the fun, love.
She's a fun
like,
game, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it would have no effect on the story. He'd still if he never meets her. He still ended up on that boat playing the game.
Yes, and even at the end, he lets her get away with the money so he could chase her. So he's just she's
that's where I guess I was thinking about not caring about the money as much.
Right. Yeah,
because he got what he wanted. You know.
Yes. So like, I think to your point, I think a lot of that starts off at the beginning of the movie before we even start the movie.
Yeah. It was almost like they, hey, this is Maverick based off TV show. Everybody saw TV show, so we don't need to explain.
Right.
Which is weird, you know?
Yes.
But they do a good job of setting up, you know, who he is.
Well, I think a lot of the motivation, I guess you'd say, happened off screen and it's told later on in the finale with James Garner when you realize
there's some of that
they were all together
that
was right and you couldn't to your point they couldn't show that because then you're ruining the ending
because one of the things I wrote down was everything in this movie is the long con his thing with the Indians well he's got history with these guys so everything's a con with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even to the point of, like James saying, them being together at the end. Everything was the long con. His father, the Indians, everything. Now, this is how sort of confused I was. The catalyst I'm saying is being $3,000 short, and I wrote a question mark because, okay. Setting him on a journey. Now, then we get to this part about the missionaries. Which is an episodic scene, but I was thinking, okay, well, they are debating whether they should help the missionaries or not help the missionaries. Is that the debate with the breaking into two being them helping the missionaries?
You mean helping Mary Margaret and Margaret Mary.
Yeah. Jeez.
That just cracks me up every time. I'm sorry.
Yes. Which to me didn't seem like a solid, because they don't spend the rest of the movie with the missionaries.
Right, yeah, no, I wrote the same thing. Looking for a catalyst, I wrote needs $3,000 to get into the big game. But
yes,
you know.
And then the break into two, he's done it.
Right.
So at the bottom of the page here, I wrote, under fun and games, I wrote the whole movie, ?
yeah, pretty much.
And I think that's probably the most accurate thing I wrote down. Right. Because as far as the B story, he does not change. Maybe Annabelle's the B story in terms of love interest. Because I think up to this point, he has not been interested in any particular woman.
Yeah, and she doesn't change. So I thought, because I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe he's flat arc, right? And he's a B story for everybody else, but they don't change enough for that to happen. So,
yeah, nobody really changes. Mm-mm.
They're just
no, the bad guys get caught and the good guys win
right?
and live to see it another day, just like an episodic TV show would be.
Right.
Yes. So, I think that's really the key to the whole movie.
You did. You hit the nail on the head because in season two, we're watching him chase after her and you're tuning into that shit.
Right. And that'll be a series of adventures.
Yeah, they catch up to each other in the first third of the movie. Then it's a bigger, badder challenge.
Yeah, sure. Something else, yeah. She gets kidnapped. Bro. I don't know. Whatever.
Angel had a twin brother and he's mad that Maverick killed his brother. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And another poker game, of course.
Of course. Yes.
Or a shooting competition. Like,
there you go.
Let's have a spelling contest.
Yes.
Which
poker just isn't your game.
Right. God damn it, Holiday. So midpoint occurs about an hour and 16. Hanging from the tree, a false defeat. So now we're back up to where the movie started and we're ready to proceed into actual time, I guess. After the missionaries and the Indian thing.
Yeah.
With the Russian. And
there was a lot of fun and games in that, the whole thing. Oh, I thought your hands got cut off, and he holds them up, flashes them at her.
Yeah, well, what's the actor's name who played the Gray? Green. Lorne Green. Yeah,
Graham Green.
Yeah. He was amazing. I thought the whole Indian motif was very played with very well. I want the damn drums beat all the time. Gives me a headache.
Right. Yeah. Oh, white man.
Yeah. Oh, white man. Yeah. Yeah, each of these sequences is fun, like James was saying, and episodic. And I think that's a good point about, yeah, if it was a season two, he'd be chasing Annabelle. Now, the bad guys close in. Again, I don't know, but I have it. The game start, the poker championship starts, where all the tables and... Because at this point, why is that a bad guys close in? Because he's in the tournament now, and there are people trying to beat him. His opponents are all the bad guys that he could lose, you know?
Everybody he's been running into this whole time are now on the boat. Alfred Molina, James Coburn,
yes.
All these guys.
Yeah, they're all assembled, you know? Any other... I mean, I think that the episodic thing really is the key, because you'd almost have to do these beats for each sequence, which I think probably would be more tight within right. the sequence.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot, I guess just now, of more like Rocky and Rocky II, how it's broken up into different little things. You have a beginning, middle, and end in the first third of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So each of these episodic things have its own little arc.
Yeah, right? Okay, so... Like, okay, for the missionary sequence, right? So they're riding along... onto their next, and so the setup is they're trying to get to the poker game. The catalyst would be they meet the missionaries.
Right.
The debate.
Do they help them or not?
Do they help them? The fun and games, going with the Indians. Breaking the two, he goes with the Indians. You know, so there is,
right.
I think very clearly within each sequence, there would be some tight structure.
Yeah, and now you got the Russian guy needing to pay the money, but he's got to shoot this. Now he's got to overcome this whole thing.
Yes, So, now.
Greatest Western thrill of all.
Right.
I mean, even in the first poker scene, like, you see the bad guys close in on that one.
Yeah.
Show up.
And yes. So each, that's the key. That opens up the understanding of this movie, I think. Better than probably, because I've always thought this was a fun ride.
Yeah.
You know, but it taken as a whole, it's a little bit like spaghetti until you see what's going on here. And that has to be by design. And I think that makes William Goldman, in my mind, even more genius, because he had to know what he was doing at that point.
Right. See that? He went from struggling to see why William Goldsmith would even write this damn movie to be like, he's a genius.
He's a genius.
He's even more genius than I thought he was.
Yes, thanks to James, you know, and Chris. All is lost. Maverick wins, which I'm calling a false victory if we had a false defeat at the midpoint.
Well, it's when he gets robbed after the thing. That would be an all is lost because they took his money.
When was that? That was...
Talking about when the bad guy, when Alfred Molina?
Yeah, like right after the... Oh, I'm sorry, I must be lost. Which part are we talking about? When he wins to go to the final table?
Well,
he wins the final table.
Maverick wins to go to the final table.
Okay, yeah. I jumped ahead.
Yeah.
I'm calling a false victory.
I was off, sorry.
Well, I don't think that's anybody's fault, except that we were coming at it as a whole rather than... Because these are all weak, in my opinion, because they're probably part of a different sequence. Like, so the Dark Knight of the Soul that I want to have for the whole movie is probably not the Dark Knight of the Soul, but some other beat would be the Dark Knight of that sequence.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I have Dark Knight of the Soul, he gets locked in his room. Like, the lowest part of the movie, he's going to have done all this, he's not going to make the game, because Annabelle locked him in his room. Now, that's weak.
Yeah.
Unless you look at the sequence.
Sitting on the horse with a noose around his neck and snakes trying to scare the horse away is like, that's stronger in a lower moment than being locked out of the room.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
That's where I had the all was lost, right? But then if that's the case, right, he gets out of that. But his Dark Knight, he's chasing after the horse and, you know, come back here, Ollie, come back here. And like, his Dark Knight's off screen because next he's getting on the boat. You know what I mean? So you don't even see his Dark Knight if that's the all is lost.
And then what happens like when then Garner runs off with the money? I mean, he's lost everything.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So
Like, was that like Hightower surprise? Like, to me in my head, it was like the gambling thing. That's what he's been chasing after the whole time.
So that's the castle.
Yeah, that's what I had, was the breaking through, was getting on the boat, doing all that, but it was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, this is fairly weak. Dark Knight locked in the room, break into three, he gets out of his room and makes the game. Finale, he plays in the finals. So it's all, it was all very, what, you know, and,
right.
But now, that being said, had we gone back and had to analyze each sequence,
yeah, I think they're there.
This would have been a 3-day episode. I don't know that we could have done that.
Right.
But I think that any study of the movie, that would be a beneficial exercise.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to understand the structure of this movie, break down each of those major sequences as a episode in sort of homage and tribute to the series.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to understand this movie.
Yeah, because if he's captured on the horse is all is lost, and what's his midpoint? And I couldn't really nail one down. That
right.
That wasn't weak, you know?
Yeah, so there would be a midpoint of each sequence.
Yeah.
Like, for the thing with the Russian and the natives, I'd have to go back and look, but let's say, for instance, the midpoint false victory, midpoint false defeat would be, his friend doesn't have the money. You know, he's gummed there. He doesn't have the money. And then so the all is lost would be a false victory where they come up with the Russian thing.
Right.
To shoot him or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So I think each sequence.
Same thing with the banker guy. He goes in. No, sorry, I don't have your money. Then Danny Glover comes in to rob the place. Not only did he have the money.
You're right.
Now he really doesn't have any money.
Yes. You're right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And his friend lied to him. Yeah, he was loaded.
So he's the midpoint.
Yeah, all my friends are stiffing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Before that scene happened, we were, I don't know, I guess just, he was, Mel Gibson, just some of his stuff was giving, like, you know, Riggs vibes, and he said it, and I was just, kept my mouth shut. And
You knew what was coming.
Yeah, then 2 seconds later, he's like, oh, hey, it's Riggs and Murtaugh.
And then you hear the music.
He enjoyed that. He was like, so this is Riggs and Murtaugh in the Old West? I go, no, you never see him again. Like,
right, no.
Cameo, don't worry about it.
But it's but clever how they
I mean, that's and that's the playful nature of this movie.
Right.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, they're always winking at the camera.
You're right, right. Which is very much in nature and in line with Brett Maverick's character.
Right.
In the series and in the movies. He's the irritable but lovable rogue, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, he could have, like, fourth wall Ferris Bueller, you know, his narration, and it still would have worked.
Right. And there was, a voiceover much of the time.
Yeah, but he could have, like, turned and directed,
right,
you know,
right.
Talked right to the camera, and I think, you know, like Ferris Bueller or Deadpool, and it would have worked.
It would have worked, yes. Yeah. Final image, he gets the money and the girl, so to speak, because he is enjoying the chase. And I think my guess is she probably, half of her motivation to take the money was to get him to chase her, you know?
Yeah.
This is the nature of their relationship now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just letting her try to steal his stuff again or whatever.
Yeah. You know, because he only put half of it.
Well, I mean, even when they first met, right? You know, and the kissing and all that.
Yeah.
Trying to steal his wallet.
Right, trying to steal his wallet.
Shrinking the shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, the giving her a shirt to do the laundry, Lath was like, that's so sexist.
And I
was
sure. Oh, this is that's exactly the point.
I was like, this is a Old West.
Wait till he hears about how they treated the Oriental people.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And then right. But her response to it, well, I'm going to shrink your fucking shirt. You did this on purpose. Well, of course I did.
And when he realizes that she stole her money and she thinks she's getting out, and he grabs her by the skirt and pulls her back. Hold on there.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good time.
The
snarky comments between them, and the background stuff.
Yes.
You know, in the ending, like this time, I guess, because it's been a while since I'd seen it, but I guess I remember thinking the first time, like, that Garner, I was like, man, he's on Maverick's ass all the time, bickering at his ass.
Yeah.
Like, man, fuck this old guy or whatever, you know?
Right.
But once you realize the ending, you're like, oh, well, that's his dad.
Of course,
he's on his ass.
Now,
I love that turn when he's like, I never said it like that.
Right. No, that's a good reveal.
No, they had good banter, you know?
with the whole stagecoach thing, go check on that. Well, this wheel's about to come off. And then later on, he's like, how's the wheel? Oh, the wheel wasn't as bad as I thought. Oh, I got a really good fucking look at the wheel from underneath.
Don't either of you help me ever again. Help. What was that? Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Lath called him bipolar at that point. I'm like, he's been through some shit. What do you mean? Yeah. I'd be mad too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you saw a little bit of Riggs when he's after the staged fight, well, and his shirt gets ruined. What was that you said? No, I was just kidding. And he laughs. But then he says, he starts laughing. Oh, yeah, you were just kidding. And then his face instantly goes to that dead Riggs look.
Right.
You know, good stuff. So there are so many fun spots in this movie, you know, that you could talk about. I think the spaghetti nature of the overall structure is irrelevant, and then it becomes even a better movie to me when we talk about the sequences. I really think that's the key.
Yeah, I found in my years and years and years of watching this movie, it's one of those ones you can turn on at any point.
Just put it on. Watch it,
just finish it.
Yes. Yeah.
Like if it was on HBO and you're in the middle in the, you know, the Russian scene, like, okay, yeah, just finish it. It's got about an hour left. I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll be in the middle of something. It'll be on. I'll be like, I'll be standing there for five minutes. Finally, I'll just sit down.
Even the poker scene, the music, the Clint Black song. I forgot the name.
Good Run of Bad Luck.
Yeah, dude, I still remember all the lyrics.
No, it's perfect tone for the, and that's Clint Black they throw over the side. Yes.
Yeah, I like that his Waylon Jennings cameo was a guy that was, you know, cheating and gets tossed overboard. That's
Being an older guy now, I was like, shit, that's Waylon Jennings. Shit, that's this dude.
Yeah.
And
it's her gun.
Uncle Jesse from
Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah,
right.
The original Uncle Jesse.
And then Stacy noticed that the dealer at the end, not in the final round, I guess, but the one where Maverick won before he, the one that the dealer goes stand up with his chair stuck.
Oh, yes.
That's the captain from Lethal Weapon. That's Merkel's captain. Yeah, Stacy recognized his voice.
I did not know that.
Around it, and I was like, oh shit, that is him.
Now, the whole chair sticking, was that staged or was
I don't know, because like when we rewound it to hear the guy's voice again, I noticed when he got up, he's shaking his head and kind of laughing. So it's almost like it wasn't supposed to happen and they just left it.
Yeah.
I don't think Mel Gibson would have laughed his ass off, but he stayed in character if it wasn't supposed to happen. You know, it looks kind of weird, but he didn't like bust up laughing.
Yeah, because I'm sure they didn't want to ruin the scene because of that. So they just played it out and then left it or whatever.
Yeah, the guy's definitely laughing and shaking his head. So I don't know if he was like, that was a stupid bit or can't believe my fucking chair got stuck.
Yeah, oh, great.
It fit. You're going to use that
one. No, it did.
It fit well because like these guys have been sitting here so damn long, the chairs are glued to their ass.
Yeah.
He told the director, he told Dunner, you're going to use that take, aren't you? Well, of course I am.
Yeah.
You know how this business goes. Film ain't free.
And then the couple of things I noticed, the shirt shrinking.
Yeah.
They did that bit in Lethal Weapon as well in the second one. They made it more Leo comical gets. And a bigger deal in this movie, but he gets it out of the dryer and he goes to put it on. Yeah, but Leo
gets, but feel it.
He's like, might as well give that to Nick. But but same thing. It's the sleeves. And he's like, what the?
That's funny. That's
and
funny.
Then the in the end of the first Lethal Weapon, how they kill Gary Busey is Murtaugh pulls.
Both of them.
And they both of them, and they did it similar, but Maverick shoots, because he takes
they both shoot,
but he shoots at different people.
Yeah.
It was a very similar beat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, so that's cool, because that would have been, those movies would have been very much in the public mind.
Yeah, especially, I mean,
80s, 90s, right? I mean, and so this movie,
I mean, 3 was a year before,
When Mel Gibson was in a movie, then, like, nodding towards Lethal Weapon and all that success.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It would have been fun for the audience, and it's fun now, you know. Right. Yeah, and I think this movie had one purpose, and that was to entertain, and I think it nails it, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Lay thought the music sounded like Toy Story. Like Woody.
Some of it did, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was going along, watching the movie, the music was fine, and as soon as he said it, I was like,
yes,
there might be a reason for that.
Thinks,
let me check to make sure I'm not wrong. But
well,
I think Randy Newman.
If it's Randy Newman, then most likely.
All right.
Yeah, that's why it would sound a lot like.
Because Maverick is a lot closer to Woody than he is to Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. The song "Ride Gambler Ride," written and performed by Randy Newman.
There you go.
Yep.
So that's why.
Crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, because he's very very much like a Jackie Chan hero. When Jackie Chan fights, you could see him, his hand hurts. And
yeah,
when,
he punches. And
yeah, yeah, when Gibson comes back in, he shakes his hand, you know. That.
Yeah, I like when he's meeting up with him later.
Yeah.
And he's like,
well, some of my best shots.
Yes. Yeah, so they're like, yeah, some of those punches were pretty good.
Yeah, that rung my bell.
Yeah, yeah, those were my best shots.
That's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, and that's the hapless hero, right? I mean, that's
pretty
the...
good fighter, sir. I'm glad I didn't have to cheat you. Oh, me too.
Make sure this gets no dirt on it. Yeah. Yeah, so that was a good time, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Any other thoughts on Maverick? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I'd love this movie.
Yeah.
I do too.
All right.
Cool.
That is Maverick.
Wait, we didn't do past recommend. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, we definitely are going to do that. Yes. Yes. The quick nature of this threw me off. Yes. Let's do past.
Consider
recommend. Yeah, so that's sort of Western music. That's like the standoff, I think they call that bumper, but fits with Maverick or whatever, Westerns. All right, James, go ahead.
Yeah, totally recommend. Love this movie since I was a kid when it came out. So see it, own it, and tell your friends about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't recommend for me as well. Yeah, it's a fun Western. Yeah, if you're a fan of Mel Gibson, you're a fan of Westerns, fan of comedies. Well, we covered it. It's a fun movie.
Fun movie. I think I've gotten some revelations about this movie. I really think that's the key. I just can't get over, to me, that's the whole thing that opens the door for this movie for me, you know, from a writer structure's perspective. But even before then, I've owned it on every format. I know I had it on VHS. I think we even got it on Laserdisc.
It's hanging on the wall
in
there.
Yeah, we got, and I've had it on DVD or Blu-ray, and I have it on digital. So there's not been a format, really, that this has been put on that I have not owned, because this is one of the keepers for me. This is a movie that I always sort of go to, you know. So I highly recommend as a fun, time.
To your point about, you know, Goldman writing a movie based off a TV show, to decide to structure it, you know, like a series of shows.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. That shows the mind of the writer that, you know, how the sausage is made, but that's great. I mean, to me, it's like, gosh, I wish I was that smart, you know?
Well, I'm glad to be that smart to point it out to you, at least.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I didn't write it. Don't get me wrong.
No. No, that's the key right there. That tells everything.
Yeah, but I feel like that's part of what we, you know, the big part of what we do with the podcast. You talk about, you know, show how the sausage is made. I feel like that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. And
discuss it.
Because I would say 99% of the people who see this movie would not have come to that conclusion. And maybe they think it's crazy, but...
And I'm part of that 99%.
I am too.
Because I don't talk about the
In terms of knowing what Goldman was trying to do. And nobody would even really ask.
You know, it stays the same way, like on not just this movie, but any, like, she doesn't care how the sausage is made.
Right.
Doesn't taste good.
Me either.
That's what she cares.
Yes.
Yeah. Wants to... She likes the movie or she doesn't?
It's almost like... You know, you're seeing blurry and you put glasses on and all of a sudden it becomes clear.
Sure.
My understanding of this movie has gone from blurry, but I like those shapes, to glasses. Oh, I see it clearly now and I love it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stace, I guess if she can't see it clearly and it looks blurry to her, then well, next. Yeah.
Well, I guarantee that's why some of the critics and fans have low scores on this. Those scores to me are too low.
Yeah.
60 and 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people get the impression that, what is this movie about?
Right.
Okay, but I think opens the door, and I think those scores, if you were a thinking movie fan, that would elevate those scores.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess to run with the analogy, what you were talking about earlier, James, like if you watch a movie and most of it's blurry, but some of it's clear, you know, for me, that's worth. All right, I'm missing something here. Like it was blurry, not because the movie was a shitty blurry movie, but because I was not paying enough attention or whatever. So you want to check it out
now. Yeah. That being said.
To clear it up.
You know? I haven't I personally have not got a set of glasses that makes Buckaroo clear yet in terms of what is going on in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I sort of have an idea of what the story is.
Fun fact, Big Trouble in Little China was written by the same person, so...
Yeah.
I like that movie.
I do too, but they are equally... Some of the exposition is equally, what the fuck's going on?
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, Big Trouble in Little China, I know we haven't covered that one yet.
Yeah.
There is a shit ton of exposition in the dialogue.
Yeah, sure.
All the way through that movie. Yeah. They're explaining to you what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it may have been before you got here, James. We were we watched that one last night with my son. Like, he picked it. It was random, so he watched it, and like the exposition was, like you said, very, very heavy. And he was like, "Whoa, this is moving really, really fast." I was like, "Just wait." And then like 2 seconds later, Kurt Russell goes, "Well, someone tell me what the fuck's going on here." Uh-huh. I'm like, "See, you're not the only one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jack Burton's there for us, so we can understand what's going on." But anyhow, so
well. I think...
But once I read that last night, I was like, oh, yeah, that tracks.
Sure. Well, there's a...
Buckaroo and that one were written by the same person.
There's a scene in Buckaroo Banzai that almost sort of is a turn to the audience to say, because they're walking through this lab, and there's a watermelon stuck in a big vise. Why? And one of the characters says, why is there a watermelon stuck in the vise? And the other character says, don't worry about it, I'll tell you later. And I think that's... the sum of the movie. What is happening in this movie? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you later. You know what I'm saying? Okay. In terms of the overall movie of Buckaroo. What? Buckaroo Banzai is the watermelon stuck in the vise.
So a you're not selling it.
Okay.
You're
well,
not selling it.
Why I can tell you.
Explain when they'll tell me about
the
it later.
End, why the, no, you said no.
Buckaroo, it has a plot. Okay. Aliens from Planet 10 have invaded our world through the 8th dimension. Okay.
Come
when we get to it, there is a plot.
That's it, you fuckers. I'm picking it next week. We're doing it.
No, I understand. I'm reading the room, and so that's...
I would love to try again, Phil.
I would try watching it.
I've said it before. I'll watch. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, because we can...
I'm watching it. Yeah.
It's like late night with the devil, man. There's something I'm missing.
Sure.
It
may not be, James, but...
I know.
I mean, yeah, when you pick Buckaroo and she picks Sound of Music, that's going to be a rough
weekend. Okay, no, we can't do both those at the same time.
That's going to be a rough weekend, but you got to watch them, you know?
No.
That's the way it goes.
All right. Jerry, you're...
Yeah, I was wondering if I was going to...
Yeah. Sorry, I hijacked
it. No, I'm just the casual
you're the
watcher.
You're the final.
You're the everyman into this
podcast. I'm the everyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love this movie.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson... at this age, need I say more?
Sure.
I would have gone to see him read the phone book or whatever.
Sure.
Hell, Mel Gibson now.
He's
a good looking fella.
No, he's aged well. He's a tough guy. I like Mel.
Just the whole movie was so fun to me.
Yeah, there's not a boring.
You know, they're sitting asleep on the stagecoach, and then next thing you know, he's hanging over the cliff. I mean, it's just one thing to another.
Yeah, there's never...
It's hilarious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Coop, him standing there behind that tree shooting, and, you know, while Maverick's over there shooting the guys, you know, but he's helping, not helping.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? It's like...
There's another contrast to say, okay, so look at these two movies. In True Romance, these characters are completely... I mean, that's who they are. In Maverick, virtually no characters who they are. Everybody's trying to con somebody by keeping their cards close to the vest, if you want a poker reference, right?
Yeah.
So you have almost blatant honesty in True Romance where all characters are...
Not what they seem.
Not what they seem in Maverick, you know, intentionally, you know, trying to be someone else.
And
because if Brett Maverick's father is what's his name?
James Garner Coop.
Coop, yeah. Coop is not his name. His name would be Maverick.
Right.
That's in fact, what I asked. Why is his name not Maverick?
That's what I'm saying. So I think his whole persona as Coop has been a reason for a long con or whatever.
Yeah, right.
I think
or maybe his name isn't Maverick.
The long con, I think, was Maverick and Coop were part of a federal investigation program to catch whoever was going to be robbing this...
Sure.
Thing.
They work for the Treasury or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It was something like that. But they don't explain it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right. Right.
But it seems like they were in cahoots the whole time.
Well, they talk about if. Because the bad guy, you know, if. Because the Commodore had a plan if Maverick won or didn't win, right? Or
yeah, the Commodore was going to rob everything.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what yeah. I was going to finish what I was thought
okay,
about.
Okay, sorry.
Because y'all go through this whole thing of the structure or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
How I saw the movie is the man needs money.
Yeah.
And this is just his journey going from place to place. Okay, he owes me, let me get his. He owes me, yeah, let yeah. me go get his. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, wait a minute. Now they've got money that I can go rescue and I can get a portion of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I saw it. And then about maybe the father and son were traveling because they already had a plan.
No, no,
he knew exactly where he was with the Commodore.
No, I think their plan was to hook up. Yeah.
But I guess James Garner, he had to do what he had to do because that was the boat captain. Is he the boat captain?
Commodore.
The Commodore. He knew nobody was going to win. I mean, whoever won, maybe,
sure,
wasn't going to get the money.
Right, right. No, the whole thing is a long con. Everybody's conning everybody.
Now, I mean, that was just my summary.
You know, that's, yeah. Now, notice, everybody owes Maverick money, but that means Maverick lent them money at right. some point. So Maverick is, you know, the irritating rogue with a good heart because he'll lend his friends money. But yeah, his friends...
She's not in the game if he doesn't get her $4,000.
Right, right.
From the Russian.
Yes, which...
And then he beats her in poker, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
You put me out of the game.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but he's willing to lend, but his friends are not as
right.
roguishly lovable as he is. They're kind of...
Right. Yeah, Lathe kept comparing him to... Never mind. Wrong movie. Sorry.
Yeah, so irritatingly likable.
Yeah.
You know. Any other thoughts?
No, did I say I highly recommend?
Is this... Wait. What kind of movie is this? Oh. Road trip, golden egg type of thing.
Golden egg, yeah.
Yeah.
The golden fleece.
Golden fleece, yeah. Probably.
Because poker's like a sport, right?
Yeah, he's trying to get to the... It's a, yeah.
If they were playing soccer, he'd be trying to get to the finals.
Yeah.
Each one of these would be a poker match, a soccer match or something, right?
Yeah, and it's just adventures along the way. Because it reminded me kind of, I guess, of... The Iliad and Odyssey and like those old shit happens on your way to go do this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I love it. That's a new definition for golden egg. Shit happens on the way to go do this thing.
It's one of them golden egg shit happens movies. James, that's a golden egg shit happens.
That's essentially what it is.
Put it in the trailer.
A bunch of shit happens. Yeah.
Now, what is True Romance?
That is a trailer.
Yeah, we didn't talk about True Romance.
I mean, it's
dude with
buddy
a problem,
love, right?
Yeah, I bet it is. Buddy love makes sense because
could be dude with a problem though too. Yeah,
everything's
a dude with a problem. But,
problem, yeah.
But these two sort of do face the odds together. Buddy love, because you can have a buddy love romance,
they
right?
Have to complete each other, I think. Yeah.
Oh, they do. My God. Yeah, so a buddy love romance because you can have a buddy love romance, buddy love. Right? And they're different.
Yeah, like he defines Lethal Weapon as a buddy love because they complete each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, these two, there is no other person for either one of these.
These are the same. Yeah.
All right, we'll call it a buddy love then. All
right. That's True Romance, but this one is a golden egg.
Golden egg shit happens.
Golden egg shit happens along the way. It's like
I think that should end it right there.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's going in the trailer, right? Golden Egg.
This is one of those golden egg shit happens along the way movies.
James has got his own genres, which may be more accurate than ours.
I got my own English sometimes.
That's right. From the old English, the golden egg shit happens. All right, that's Maverick, and we are out. Oh.